or somebody wants to speak to you, Lashon Hara, and you put your fingers in your ears and you say, I refuse absolutely to listen to you, then he's got nobody to speak to, and therefore he will not be able to speak. He'll, right? If I make, says the Chofetz Chaim, says the Zatz Rebbe, V'ani kech eresh le'eshmo, if I make myself like someone who does not hear, I indicate to him that I will not listen to what he's saying, then uch'ilem lo yiftach piv, he will not open his mouth, because he'll have nobody to speak to. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim is saying, effectively. It takes two to create a Lashon Hara situation, a speaker and a listener, and each of them is being machshel the other.
Sunday, 20th of Kislev, 3rd of December, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld Schlitter, The Oil or the Battle. This week's Torah is sponsored by family Blachman, the first Simcha Mitzvah of Bensi Shiner, Nerio, and Chaya Blachman, tomorrow in Mitz Hashem, the Simcha of Model Tov, he wrote mention the Bible, and the Mom, he sold the Shem, and the Hilo. Let's go, Shabbat, and the Chayolim, and the Chomor, Shiachu, the Votahem, and Shalom, Bim Heiro.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Very special to be here once again in a different place, but with the same Matara. It's Mechazik, all of us. Bezras Hashem, some Divrei Torah and Hamunah, Bezras Hashem. I know today is a big day for us as well, as far as I understand, there's a big campaign going on today for Kilas El Moshe. And I was thinking on my way here, what is it that Kilas El Moshe have? That's something that we can try and aspire to. And I was thinking, yeah, on a similar idea, that Kilas El Moshe is not about themselves. It's about the bigger klal. I remember when my brother-in-law Uri and Dudi, you know, they opened it up. I remember stacking all the chairs in the hall when they started on Golders Green Road. But it was always about how can we include more and more people, make it bigger. Dudi's ideas of start the Torah way, the koilal in there. Everything's about just being marba, more and more kavod shemaim. Let's just make it bigger, expand it, bring more in. And I think it's been going for many, many years. I don't know how many years, probably around 20 years. But now it's out.
He's done for 18.
18 years, no, okay.
We've been going 18.
18 years.
I'm sure maybe longer.
Yeah, so 18 years minimum. So now it's our opportunity to say thank you for those 18 years, for the chizukim that we've had. And also to be marba kavod shemaim, each of us in our own way. Bezras Hashem. Okay. Let's get down to today's Rosha. So we're going to begin Be'edras Hashem with three questions and say over Yesod. Most, everything I'm saying is based on Reb Chaim Friedlander. If it sounds good, it's definitely from him. If there's a mistake, then I'll take the blame. So start off like this. The Rambam, when he starts off introducing us to Hilchas Chanukah, he says the following words. This is in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Beis. Mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad mo'id. It's a mitzvah chaviva, it's a beloved mitzvah. I love this mitzvah, ad mo'id. Now, we all know the Rambam is a halacha sefer. He's not here to be mechazakas in his halacha sefer. So the question is, why is the Rambam all of a sudden and uniquely using these words when he speaks about the mitzvah of Chanukah? Because those who know the Rambam say that it's something which is used very rarely, if at all, anywhere else. So why does the Rambam use these words, mitzvah chaviva hi mo'id? That's question number one. Question number two, if you go in the Siddha HaGro, so the Pirish there asks the following question on Hanisim. We say there, Giboyrim b'yad chaloshim, that the Yevonim, the mighty ones, were handed over to the chaloshim, to Matisyo and his children. The question he asks is, that, Lemaisa, you're right, we were a minority, but we fought with everything we had, with a willpower, with a mysterious nefesh. We tackled a minority, but we weren't willing to give in. And that's how you're labeling us? Chaloshim? That's the nicest title you can find for Klal Yisrael, that you're going to call us Chaloshim? Call us Giboyrim. That's what we really, really were. That's question number two. Question number three is based on a brisa in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that all of us know. It's going through what the mitzvah of Chanukah was instituted on. And the brisa says, Yoimei de Chanukah Tamanya Enon is 8 days. And it says, Ukshagovra Malchus Beis Chashmonoi. When the Beis Chashmonoi overpowered the Greeks, Venitzchum, Bodku Velo Motu Elapach Echod Shel Shemen, they searched and they only found one jug of oil, Sheom Mulach Bechesome Shel Koin Godel, Velo Hoyaboy Elahadlik Yoim Echod, Nase by Nes, a miracle occurred, Vidlikumi Menu Shmoino Yomim, and therefore, Lashono Acheres, the next year, Kovum Vaasom Yime Toivim Bahalel Vahido. The next year, Chazal Wokovea, there's a Yontif called Halal. There's not a word in this brisa about the battle, the war, the fact that a minority of people went against the greatest army that lived. What, not one word. All it speaks about is the Nes of Shemen. When you read this brisa, it sounds like the whole takon of Chazal to institute Yimei Halal Voidor was because of the Nes of the Shemen. Why don't you speak about the battle? Not only that, the Nes of the Shemen was a Nes that happened just for the Kohenim and the Beis HaMikdash. No one else saw it. The Kohenim and the Beis HaMikdash saw it with their eyes. The battle was something that the entire Klal Yisrael, the entire world saw. So why are you specifically focusing on the Nes of the Shemen? Even more than that, in Haneris Halolu, that we sing the Piyut, based on Hilchos Sofrim, Masechta Sofrim, so there it says, Haneris Halolu onu madlik v'la nisim, v'la nifloit, v'la truz, v'la milchomois. So there it says clearly the milchomos. It does bring in the battles that we did. In Al-Hanissim it says, we say Al-Hanissim v'al-Hanifloos, which is in the plural. And we end off as well, like Lehoides l'Lahala l'Shimcha Godoil al-Nisecho v'al-Nifloosecho, also plural. So it's clearly evident there that the mitzvah of Chanukah isn't unique for the oil, it's also for the battle that took place. So how come in the Braisa it doesn't mention a word of the oil? This is the question that Reb Chaim Friedlander brings down from the Maharal. And the Maharal says a Yasod. The Maharal explains that when Chazal Wokoveya, the Yimei Halal Voidor, they would only be Koveya it on a Nes Goloi, on an open miracle. Something which defies the laws of nature, which is clearly evident that there's a hand of God involved. But something which you could blame and say there's not really in it happened like this, and it's because of this, something which is not clear, and you can put it within the laws of nature, as we say, then Chazal wouldn't be kaveret. So only because of this massive nes of the Pach HaShemen, which was an open miracle, they have a flask of oil that there's only enough to light for one day, and it lit for 8 days, only because of that Chazal were able to institute the nes of Chanukah. But once, says the Maharal, Chazal instituted the Nes of Chanukah because of it, then they can say that the Nes of Chanukah is also because of the battles that Klal Yisrael fought. Because those battles, we could blame it on Teva and say, yeah, you're right, it was a minority, but they were mighty, they knew certain skills and techniques, you could. But once we've already instituted it, then you can bring in the Milchoma. And the simple reason is because once we see an open miracle occurring and happening with the Pach HaShemen, then we stop and we begin contemplating. And we begin realizing, hopefully, that even that which we blame on Teva, on nature, is actually a Nes itself. And that is why, through the Nes of the oil, we come on to appreciate all the other Nisim, the Milchoma as well. And he goes a stage further and says that it could even be that the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this Nes of oil was in order to bring out the Nes of the Milchoma. So it's the other way around. So the Nes of the Milchoma was really the Ikka thing behind everything. That was Mamish Nisim v'Niflois. But Klal Yisrael won't see that, perhaps. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Nes of oil, the Pach, which was an open miracle. They saw clearly the Yad Hashem. And through that, they started recognizing and realizing the Milchoma itself. So the whole Nes of the Shemen, says the Maharal, was because of, to get us to recognize that the everyday is also a Nes itself. Everything that happens to us, he says, is a Nes itself. And Reb Chaim Friedlander brings down the Ramban. The Ramban, next week's Parsha, it's got a beautiful piece. I'm only going to read you a few lines of it just to bring it out. The Ramban testifies on his words, and he says, I'm going to tell you something, shu emes or borer b'Torah, which is 100% true in the Torah. Ki hanisim hanasim aledei novi, a miracle that occurs through a novi. She is nabe kemet chila, that says, he prophesies that a miracle is going to occur. Oy malach nigla b'mleches Hashem, or a malach who comes and tells us something. Yes, kir makosov. The Torah mentions, v'hanasim me'aleihem, but a miracle that happens without any prior warning, lazor tzaddik, to support a tzaddik, or lahakris rasha, or to get rid of a rasha, lo yaskirin b'Torah b'Nevim, is not mentioned in the Torah. And the Ramban continues mentioning how our everyday teva in the world is so full of miracles, he says. It's full of it, he says. If you think about it, the things that happen to us on a daily basis is not something which be'etzim is supported by the nature that it should happen. But nevertheless, so many things happen to us. He says that all the warnings in the Torah that about not keeping Shemitah and not keeping the mitzvahs and the Shemayim's going to close up and it'll be like metal, no rain will come down. That the concept of Koris in the world, they're not things that work with our understanding of nature. But they're things which are hidden within the nature, that we don't see them clearly. He says, when it comes to tefillah, says the Ramban, a person daven says, it doesn't make sense. You daven, and lemaisi, he said, we see in our lives, the more we daven, the more of a connection we have, the more hashgacha prot is happening to us. He says, there's no way to explain it. But lemaisi, it's not spoken about. Why? Because it's not an open miracle. Only open miracles are things that are mentioned clearly in the Torah. Because everything else can be blamed on teva, and therefore they're not mentioned it. And says Reb Chaim Friedlander, based on this Ramban, that's the idea why, when it comes to Chanukah, and Chazal wanted to be Kaveh the Nes, they followed this Mahalach, and will only Kaveh the Nes on an open miracle, not on something that can be blamed on nature. And that really is why the Rambam begins, and he says that Mitzvah Ner Chanukah is a Mitzvah Chaviva Ad Mo'id. The Rambam himself in Maseches Brachos on the Mishnayos, in the last Perek, on the last Mishnah there, he's speaking about halacha of the Brachos that they said in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't say Amen, they say Baruch Shem, and then all of a sudden he veers off and he starts speaking loads about Amunah. It's got a whole beautiful piece there, and at the end of his words he says, "Ve'ein zeh mokun l'havi shama davazeh." The truth is, I shouldn't have brought all this in this place. Lulia Shekivanti, it's just I promised myself, if there's like a mention, an opportunity to bring in a munna, levari by mat, I can talk about it, I'm gonna bring it in. Ki yokor be'einai lelamed ikka, it's special, it's yokor in my eyes to speak about ikka me ikkori hadas. It's more special, says the Rambam in my eyes, to speak ben yonei emuna than everything else that I'm going to teach you about. Think of all the Rambam svarim, all the yad of the Rambam that we know. All of that, emuna was more special for the Rambam. Because all the mitzvahs and everything is what men bring us to emuna. They say that Reb Shach, when he said over this Rambam, he told the Olam, please don't say this over to Reb Chaskel. But he doesn't know this Rambam. You know, he was worried. All these hundreds of shurim he's given, Reb Chaskel's one shmooze on emunah, and it's already, the Rambam says it's more special. But that's the idea behind it, that everything in the world, be'etzem, is something, it's opportunities to lead us to emunah. We only speak about the open miracles, but be'etzem, through the open miracles, it's meant to bring us to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, to see him in our everyday life. It's a beautiful vort they bring down from Brisker Rav, Rabbi Isaac Shaw. It's a medrash. The medrash says in Eicher Rabba, it says, "Our bo'om melachim oyu." There were four kings. Masha tova zeh, loy tova zeh. What this one asked for, the other one didn't ask for. Ve'elu hein, and who are they? And the medrash says, David, Asa, Yehoshaphat, and Chizkiah. These were the four kings. And the medrash goes through them. David Omar, David said, "Erdoif oyvai va'asigim. Give me the ability to chase after my enemies and catch them, and I'll do the rest. I'll kill them." Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yisakein, great deal. Hadu Dechseven, it quotes a Pasuk. And Taka, if you look at the Pasukim there, we know David HaMelech, for 2 nights and 1 day straight, he chased the enemies. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made literally open miracles, was light for him the whole way. There was lightning happening the whole time. And the Medrash says there that he killed 800 people with one swipe, mamish, everything. That was David. Asa, says the Medrash, Omad Asa va'Omar, I've got no kech to kill people. I'm going to run after the enemies. You do the job for me. Omalajam said, okay, no problem. And taka, that's what happened. And I could shparchu sort them out. Next one. Omed Yoshafot. Yoshafot stood up for Omar. Ani ebi koyach loy larig vloy lidov. I've got no strength not to kill and not to chase. Ela. Ani oimesh shiro. Vatoise. I'll sing and you do the job. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani oise. No problem. I tried saying this to my wife once. I'll eat supper, you wash up. It doesn't work. But if for them, it worked. Let me just sing Shira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no problem. Last one, Omad Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah got up for Omar. Ani, ein bi koyach loy laroig, v'loy lirdoi, v'loy loy mashira. I've got no koyach to kill, or to run, or to sing Shira. Ela ani yoshin al mitosi. I'll go to sleep. V'ata oise, you do the job. I think we follow his mahalach nowadays, right? So he says, I haven't got this koyach to do. So you read this medrash, and you think to yourself, so which one comes out for us as the greatest one, as the one who mamish held on to Hashem the tightest? It sounds like Chizkiyah was the greatest. He said, HaKadosh Baruch, I'm not doing nothing, I have full bitachon in you. I'm going to sleep, you sort it all out. And who was the least? David HaMelech. David HaMelech, he didn't. Oh, he said, Hashem, help me get to them. I'm doing everything else. It sounds like Chizkiyah HaMelech was the one who was the greatest one from the lot. Which obviously doesn't make sense. David was the Rosh. The Rosh based off it, right? Even more than that, what taka are they saying? They're asking for like discounts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll make a deal with you. I'll do a bit and then you do a bit. It's like some sort of business deal happening here. And taka, what was unique about Chizkiyah that he felt that he has the ability to go to sleep? Did he think he has more zechusim than everyone else that he's got a right to ask for that? Even more than that, Chizkiyah, when he wasn't well and he was dying, all of a sudden he had the koyach to start davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've got no koyach to do nothing. I'm going to sleep. You saw everything else. So, what's pshat in this medrash? So the Brisker Rav explained, Isaac Shaw, a beautiful idea. And he explained that, on the contrary, it was actually the other way around completely. Why? Oh. These were kings who had mighty armies. Armies with thousands and thousands of soldiers, tanks, weapons, everything they needed. And there was a fear here, a real fear of Kechi Va'itzim Yodi. If I come along and start fighting and waging war against enemies, then I'm going to start feeling that it's me. It's my koyach. I'm the one who's doing everything. And therefore, each melech on their darga of bitochen had to do something that will enable them to realize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the way, and it's nothing to do with them. David HaMelech, who was on the highest level of bitachon, said, I'm able to fight, to run, to kill. I'm able to do everything and recognize us all from you. I need one thing though, that you let me catch them up. As long as you give me that ability to be able to catch them, I'm happy to do the rest of the actions myself, and it's not going to remove my bitachon in you. Because David HaMelech's level of bitachon was such that even when he saw himself chasing and killing and doing tremendous things, he recognized it wasn't him. But it came to the later kings, and each one on their level felt that if they were able to chase them, or they were able to kill them, then it's going to make them feel as Kechi Va'itzim Yodi. And therefore, due to their lack of bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu on their level, they had to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do much more for them. Until we get to Chizkiyah HaMelech, who said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I do any action whatsoever, I'm scared that it's going to impact me and make me think it's myself. And therefore, Dafka, when it came to Chizkiyah, Dafka there, he had to say, Hashem, I can't do anything. I'm not doing anything because then I'm going to think it's me. Everything's coming from me. And that's a similar idea that we see in Shoftim, in Sefer Shoftim, when the Psukim say the whole story with Gideon ben Yoyosh, when he went out to war. So the Psukim say as well that Gideon prepared for himself 32,000 soldiers. And the Psukim there continue, HaKadosh Baruch says, Rafa om Asheimach, Asher Titoch Mititit Min Biodom. You've got far too many people with you, the Pasuk says. Take some away. What's the problem with having such so many people? I'm going to war against massive armies. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained Gideon. The Pasuk says, Pen Yispo'er Ola Yisro Lema Yodai Hoshi Oli. Because Klal Yisrael, if you let them go, 32,000, they're going to say it was me. And that's why the psukim continue. And the apostle says that Gideon took off 10,000 of them. 10,000 soldiers. He's left with 22. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, I'm sorry. You still got far too many. So Gideon says, what should I do? So Hashem says, you know what? I'll sort it out for you. I'm going to give you a test. Only the soldiers who pass the test you take with you. So what type of test is this? They're going to do some military exercise, some tremendous fighting skills. What's it going to be? So Hashem, no. Take them to the river. And they should all bend down and take a drink. Those who bend down and drink water like a dog licks the water, so they go all the way down to the water, they're the ones who should be your soldiers. But those who bend on their knees and bend down to it, there's an element of Avodah Zarah, they can't be there. And that's what happened. And how many did he end up with from 32,000? 300 people. 300 people. Again, because if there would have been too many, it would have been Koichi Vaitzim Yodi. And our job in this world is to remember that it's not Koichi Vaitzim Yodi, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as much as we have to stop doing in order to see that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is what we have to do. The Medrash actually says over, it's the Medrash Tanchum and Parshas Vayeshev, that Antoninus was, he had to go to Caesarea, and he went with, Antoninus came to Caesarea, and he sent a message to Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, I want you to come and visit me. So Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi went together with his son, Reb Shimon, and Reb Chia, his Talmud. And as they were walking into Caesarea, they saw all the legions of the Roman armies there, and the Medrash says that they suddenly saw the Roman army. And Reb Shimon saw them. The Medrash says they were very, very tall, very, very powerful bodies. Their heads, says the Medrash, were going like a polirush al amudim. I don't know what that means, but they were extremely tall, extremely strong, and very, very terrifying. Yeah, you can use me as a moshel if you want. I think it was even more than that. So Reb Shimon saw this terrifying army, and he says to Reb Chia, look at these fattened calves. He made fun of them, fattened calves, that's all they are, they're nothing. Reb Chia said to Reb Shimon, come, let me take you somewhere. And he took Reb Shimon to the market. He took him to where the grapes were. He said, see these grapes with the flies all buzzing around them? These Romans are not fattened calves, they're flies. There are nothing in the world. You're comparing them to fattened calves? Ah, they're not even fattened calves, they're flies, they're nothing. So we're having a bit of a machloikus. Who do you compare these powerful Roman army to? Fattened calves or flies? So Reb Shimon went to his father. He said, Daddy, listen, I had a discussion with Reb Chia, and who's right? So Rebbe said, what did Reb Chia tell you? So he told him, Reb Chia said they're like flies. So Rebbe said, what? So he said that they're something. He said that they're something. He said that if you're saying they're like flies, you're giving them a reality. You're saying that there is some power there. Says Rebbe, they're not even like flies. They're nothing, nothing, nothing. That's what Rebbe told over his son. Because as soon as we give a power, a recognition to something else, that's going to impact us. I'm going to say over a mice of the Chazanish, which for us sounds extremely extreme. But on the level that these people lived, we understand what it means to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reb David Frankel, one of his very close Talmidim, said over that he was talking once with the Chazanish, a certain area there where there were tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, but no Gedolim came out from that area. And the Chazanish said to him, you want to know why from in the last few years big people haven't come out? He says, I'll tell you why. He says, because when the Israeli army made a whole march, you know, to show off their koichas, so the children, the daughters of the Bnei Torah came out on their roofs to watch them, to watch and enjoy the koichas that they were showing that they had. And the Chazanish said to him, if these Bnei Yisrael were able to look at them and feel an element of Koichi Vaitzim Yodi, a God will come out can't come out from such people. A terrifying thing the Chazanish said. And Mamish, the Kudah of the Adak Min Adak, Mamish, the Tech, but something that we have to try and extrapolate on our level. But when we go and we give a recognition and we think, yes, it's this, then we are causing for ourselves problems. We're chas v'sholem impacting ourselves and inhibiting gedolim from coming out from us. But that is the hashkofa that the Chazanish was trying to bring out. And the truth is, as we know, I was thinking to myself, how do we connect this? It's not very hard to connect what I'm saying to what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. this idea, so many people have said to me over the last few, you know, since it started, how's it possible? The Israeli army was so powerful. They had everything. It doesn't make sense. People are very upset. It really doesn't. I said, to me, that's the biggest chizuk. To me, it says it doesn't make sense, and that's why we have to see the Yad Hashem. Nothing makes sense in it. It's all the Yad Hashem. The more we think about it, the more it's crazy. The only answer which makes any sense is that, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was behind it. I was telling this over someone last night, and he told me that he heard over from Rav Fishel Shachter, said over that it's the last Yom Kippur we had was the 50 years since Mohammed Yom Kippur. And Rav Fishel Shachter said over that he was listening, before this whole massacre took place on October 7th, he was listening to an interview from a Israeli general, someone very high up in the army, and he was being interviewed, and the reporter said to him, you know, Mohammed Yom Kippur came as a tremendous surprise. You are shocked. You aren't ready for it. All of a sudden, can such a thing happen ever again? And the Israeli general looked at him and he smiled. He said, you have to know that the Israeli army are the most powerful army in the world. We have the greatest surveillance. There's not even a fly, he said, that can come into our airspace without us knowing. Those were the words that he said before it took place. There was an element of Keich Vayitzim Yodi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to remind us that, you know, as much tremendous techniques and power that we do possess, it's not real. We have to always turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But through this open miracle, which doesn't make a word of sense that it even happened, we also have to, like we saw from the Nes of Chanukah, from the Pach HaShemen, look at the miracles that were hidden, that are there but are waiting for us to recognize. The hundreds of stories that we all know ourselves are coming out constantly about a shul that was full of people and they just walked past it and ignored it, about a village that closed the Chavid Shabbos and they couldn't get into the village. There's so many individual stories, one after the other. The tanks, I'm not even going to say this because you must probably all know more than me, but the tanks that blew up and they had just gone out to check because it was broken. It's mind-boggling. The amount of people who have started coming back to Yiddishkeit is there are tremendous things taking place. But the question is, what are we who are already here in Yiddishkeit doing? What are we who aren't seeing the miracles because we're not there, but we're hearing about them? What are we doing with them? Are we, you know, one of the boys I learned with said to me, Rebbe, it's amazing. You have to see the videos coming out. You see the tremendous rockets. And I understand it. I understand that when we're there, we also enjoy these things. But we have to remember what lies behind it. What message are we giving ourselves? And what message are we giving over to our children and grandchildren? What's coming out from what we're seeing? However, Reb Chaim Friedlander continues. And he says, very nice. You've explained to me why the whole nace of Chanukah has to come out through an open miracle, and through that will bring us to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the everyday. But he says, still, I don't understand. Let's say you're 100% right. The battle that Klal Yisrael did against the Avonim, we can't see was an open miracle. And we're going to say it was our might. But still, there was a tremendous salvation. It was a massive Yeshua. It was a Rabbim, it was a Miot against a Rabbim. And Lemaisa, we won them. It was a tremendous, tremendous salvation. Even if it's not a miracle, but still, is that not something to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Is that not enough to make Yimei Halal Vaidon? Okay, so you're right. We won't see Hashem through that. But to say thank you for such a tremendous episode that took place, why is that itself not enough? And Reb Chaim Friedlander has a beautiful idea. So the chesed in the Yeshua, the kindness of the salvation is the recognition why it was done. If through the salvation you see that it was done because the one who saved you loves you, cares for you, and has compassion for you, then that's a tremendous chesed, because through that you will feel indebted to try and connect to this one who saved you and do what they want and grow close to them and grow. And therefore, he said, if you, HaKadosh, the whole essence of a nes is in order for us to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like David HaMelech says, "Vani kiras elikim li toiv." The Ben Ezra says on this, "Ki zehu ha-toiv be'emes." That's the real toiv. So the real chesed in Yeshua is the kirva, the connection that we get, that we're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, had the nes come about through the battle, had Yemei Chanukah, Halal Vaidor, been instituted because of the fact that Lemaisa, we overcame a mighty army, that wouldn't have enabled us to come close to Hashem, because we said it was all from us. But now that was instituted based on an open miracle that took place, that wasn't needed, There was enough ways we could have got around the oil. Tomahutra, but Sibor, there was enough things we could have done. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, Klal Yisrael, I love you and I want to show my love for you by doing an open miracle, which isn't even needed. That is the chesed, because through that we're like, wow, look how Hashem cares for us and loves us. And that spurs us to grow close to Him and become close to Him. And that's why, says Reb Chaim, Dafka, that was the nest that Chanukah was instituted on. To be able to remind us, to be able to remind us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for us the whole time. And the idea is that in the same way that we recognize and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives is how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show Himself to us and be there for us in times when we need it. And yes, we have, we're not the ones fighting any war. We're not the ones who are struggling in our own way, being in Chutz La'aretz and suffering what we're suffering. But there's so many opportunities for us to grow close to Hashem. And Chanukah, what we're coming out with, the essence of Chanukah is to stop. Think about the open miracles and use it to bring back in our life and think, from those open miracles, what miracles also happened that weren't so clear but were there? And then bring it back to our lives. And Be'ez Hashem, if we do that and try remind ourselves how much chesed is happening for us on a daily basis, to focus on the chesed and the hashkocha. I remember my chavrusa told me that his brother writes a letter. He told me this when we were in yeshiva around 15 years ago. He said, every single week his brother writes a letter to his parents, he lives in Eretz Yisrael, to his parents in Gateshead, saying 7 Hashgacha Pratis to Avnim, one for every day. I said, you serious? Every day Hashgacha Pratis? I thought the guy was crazy. I said, yeah. I said, how's it possible? He said, his brother had the same problem when he began. But then his problem turned the other way. He didn't know which Hashgacha Pratis to put in. And the idea is, because the more we're looking for Hashem in our eyes and trying to see Him, the more we do see Him, the more we see. But we have to be willing to look. And this is the time of Chanukah, that the Rambam says a mitzvah chaviva yad ma'oid, because it's a mitzvah that enables us to grow close to Hashem and see Him in our lives, that we have now this time, but it's Hashem, before Chanukah and over Chanukah, to use it and grow ourselves.
Shabbat shalom.